Hello, I'm Daniel Gregory, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I hope you're having a great week, getting a chance to get out there and do some amazing things with the camera, find a way to really embrace your creativity. I know for a lot of people, the change of seasons, whether it's into summer, fall, wherever you are out in the world, that a change of season sometimes is a great cleaning house, a great chance to revitalize and reset the energy for the coming season. So I hope you're taking advantage of some of that natural shift that occurs. For me, I've been spending the last several weeks kind of learning something new. I've got a couple of new tasks I've kind of wanted to embrace and figure out how to do. And I want to talk a little bit about that today in the podcast, about how we go about learning a new task. And then also I want to talk about what a photograph should be. In the sense, should it be a print? Should it be a digital copy? Should it be a fabrication? Should it be composited into something else? And I want to talk a little bit about that because I think that's also a really important aspect of photography that we sometimes overskip as we get a little bit myopic sometimes in our approach to what we think the photograph is. But returning back to that first subject of learning a new task. One of the things that I've really struggled with my own creative practice, and I hear this with people I work with and teach and mentor, is, well, it seems like this has taken a long time for me to learn. And I think that somehow we got stuck between a place where we have the notion of Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours to become proficient, and I want to know something immediately, and I want to know it now. And I think the reality is, for most of us, that length to learn a new task sits somewhere in between. And I think the thing that ultimately determines the time to learn the new task is our interest in that task, how important that task is in order for us to get additional work done. And finally, if it's something that we believe is something we're going to carry forward over and over again. And I could start off with a simple real example, a simple real world example, and then we can look at a more complicated example. One of the simple real world examples I can think of is learning a keyboard shortcut. It doesn't matter whether you're using Photoshop, Lightroom, or if you're in Microsoft Word, or just in your Windows or on your Mac, learning a keyboard shortcut will make you more efficient. It's a task you should learn. There are certain keyboard shortcuts that once you learn how to do, your hand doesn't have to leave and grab the mouse to actually do the work, and so you're just more efficient while you work. So for example, in Photoshop, to duplicate a layer is Command-J or Control-J. That simple keyboard shortcut can save a couple of seconds. And you think, well, that's not a big deal, but a couple of seconds added up over a year or 2 or 3 years can add up to several hours worth of potential work that you're easily solving, that you're getting back by not having to repeat that same muscular movement back over to the mouse. So to learn that new task is a very simple thing. You just have to learn the keyboard shortcut and then force yourself to do it. For me, when I want to learn a new keyboard shortcut, I just put a post-it note in front of the monitor, and that way I'm always looking at that keyboard shortcut and knowing that I have to do it. And if I catch myself using the mouse, I undo that and redo the effect with the keyboard shortcut. So on a simple level, that's, I think, learning a new task. And it doesn't take long to learn the new keyboard shortcut. I probably learned that. Some keyboard shortcuts I learned almost immediately because they make sense to me. And others, it might take 2, 3 days or a week to actually get in the habit of using that keyboard shortcut. But there are other things that are much more complicated than that. So if I want to learn a new task, like a new type of shooting, or I want to learn how to do studio lighting, or if I want to learn how to use a new camera, it takes longer for that to seep in and for that information to seep in. One of the things that happens, though, is I think it comes down to, like I said earlier, how proficient do you need to be and how proficient do you want to be? If you want to be extremely proficient at something, it, of course, will take longer. If you need to be extremely proficient at something, that could potentially take longer as well. However, if your need and your want are aligned, I think your attitude is improved and your desire to do it is improved. So in many ways, you can accelerate the process by embracing that positive attitude and that positive outlook. And you hear that from a lot of creative individuals, that when they feel like they're on a creative high, things come easier to them. And a lot of that is the approach we take. It's structure we set up to allow us to learn that new project, to learn that new task. So I think one of the things you can do is, if you've got a more complicated task, like you want to learn how to, say, do a analog process like wet plate, or if you want to learn a digital process like compositing, one of the things to do is first get yourself set up so that it's really interesting. So spend the time to research what it is about that process that's interesting, learn about the process, find people who are in the process and get inspiration from them before you even start out, so that you can continually fuel that interest to pursue the task more and more. And then I think you have to also give yourself some flexibility in realizing that everybody learns differently, and you will learn different parts of the process in different ways. It is really easy to go and do something once, particularly if you have a master mentor there. And if you take a wet plate printing class, or if you take a Photoshop class and you follow along, it's really easy to be like, oh, I followed along using their image, or I was in there using their equipment, and I was able to create an image, create a wet plate, whatever it was, and it's super easy because it's super simple with somebody else there. The challenge becomes when that person's not there. And I think one of the things you have to do is cut yourself a little bit of slack and remember that energy that comes off of your desire and want to be able to do something so that you can realize the value of the baby steps that happen in the creative process. Rarely is our creative act, rarely is our photography a big bang type event. Nothing explodes so that everything happens at once. There's a continual expansion, much like the universe expands. There's a continual expansion of our creativity over and over and over again. And we actually add things sometimes in small incremental steps and sometimes in very large steps. So recognizing that, I think, is really important. So it doesn't matter whether you are printing something, shooting something, reading and learning about something, recognizing that the desire for that and that need to be aligned to a expectation so that you are willing to cut yourself the slack when your things are slow and you're willing to embrace and be excited by your own learning process as things accelerate and move faster. I think one of the things that is a challenge is when we come to learning a new task, I think too many times we do shoot ourselves in the foot that it's either going to take too long or be too challenging. And what we really need to do is just embrace the fact that the creative process is about learning. It's about the experience of discovering and finding out things that are new within ourselves. And by embracing that, we can really take a step forward to experiencing everything that we can as artists. In the second topic, like I said, I want to talk about what a photograph should be. What I mean by this is, should it be a print? Should it be a digital artifact? Should it be a replication? Should it be fabricated into something outside the normal medium of photography? Should it be 3D printed? What should the photograph be? And I think that comes down to a couple of key components. One is the intention of the artist. When you think about what you're trying to say and what you're trying to communicate and how that is to you, that could dictate to you what the subject should be. How many people you want to see the object, that could also be covered by what the photograph is created as. It's much easier for people to see digital images when they're transmitted through social media than it is for them to travel to a museum or to a gallery where there might be just one image on the wall. I think also the feeling you want to convey. So one of the things that digital does is it has a connection to the screen where a photograph in print is on an actual piece of paper on the wall. A book is a tangible object we can flip through. A sculpture of a 3D image is something we can walk around. So what is that feeling that you want to convey? So you've got intention and feeling. Those two to me coalesce into the experience. How do you want the viewer or the person you're engaging with the image to interact with the object? How do you want them to interact with the experience? How should they sense what you were trying to communicate and convey? I think another one is the longevity. How long do you expect the image to survive and last? Anybody who's ever had a hard drive crash without a backup knows that images and data only last as long as the hard drive is accessible. So unless you've got yourself in a situation where you're very confident in the archivability of your digital assets, that could be something to consider about why you would potentially make a print or why you would have it fabricated into something or why you may have a book made. It's because you want the longevity of the image. I think also the question of manipulation is important. And this is one of the things I don't think a lot of photographers consider. But as you put your stuff out there in a completely digital fashion, it is easily manipulated. It can be easily grabbed by you as an artist or by somebody else and fabricated and recreated and used for something and for some other purpose. And I think it's important for you to recognize that if you're interested in the purity of your work or the accuracy of your work, or the connection of your own work that nobody else can touch, then you really would need to consider that in terms of the medium you would choose to create the photograph. And finally, I think is the last kind of key piece is the replication element of the photograph. So one of the things that I personally hold is that photography's power is in its ability to have an image be replicated over and over again. So replication for me is an important aspect of my photography. I want the images to be able to be replicated. Now, I want them replicated by me, so I do a lot of efforts to make sure that that is under my control, but that is an important element. But for you, if it's a one-and-done kind of thing, that might give you some flexibility in your photography. If you want only one version of the image out there, that might give you an opportunity to think about your photography differently in terms of how it gets replicated. For me, at the end of the day, one of the reasons people ask me about printing and why I think printing is so important is because to me, the print comes with a definitive statement of if I am printing the work and not somebody else, or if somebody else would be printing my work, I would work hand in hand with them to make sure the print was exactly what I wanted. The image as it appears on the paper coming out of the darkroom, either it be digital or analog, is true to the vision of me as the artist. It is the absolute definitive way that I want to see and experience the work. Because once the work is replicated into a book, once it's converted into something digitally, once something else happens to the work, it is no longer to that specification. Even my own work over the years, if I have to come back and print something I printed 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or I print today in 20 years, the same papers won't be available, the same inks won't be available. So I have to somehow think about how would I master that back to that original vision of how I saw the image. And for me, that's why the print is so important, because it is a physical object. It is under 100% of the control of my own hand in that creative process. And it speaks to all of those elements of feeling, experience, intention, longevity that are interesting to me in terms of why I think about and when I think about creating a photograph. And it's also one of the reasons you'll see a lot of my photographs don't ever necessarily get printed, but might get stared socially, because they don't have that same experience that I think about when it comes to the images that I want to print. So I think that's one of the things you need to sort of figure out and set in your own printing methods and your own photography is, what is it about your own work and how do you experience that work, and are you putting it in the correct medium? Are you leaving things digitally because you think it's easier? Or if you're only printing but not sharing, or if you're not letting people replicate your work because you're worried about whether they're going to do a high quality job or not. I think you need to resolve some of those things in your own photographic practice so that you are being true to yourself as the artist and how you want to present and share your work. I would encourage you to go back and really look at that process and try to figure out in your own world where those lines are, so that they're just at least clear somehow in your head. I also think take some time to figure out how you learn a new task and how you go about that process. Maybe write down some of the steps you notice that you do over and over again when you learn a new task, and figure out if there's a easier way or a faster way or a better way for you to learn. And that may shift the rate at which you're able to acquire new knowledge, and ultimately probably at the rate you're able to share that knowledge with others, which is, I think, one of the hallmarks of people who really learn a task have a desire to share that information with others. I think that's one of the things we do as artists, is our collective desire to share that information. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, you can find us up on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, all the places podcasts are found. We'd also appreciate a review up there, or a ranking if you could do that. That'd be great. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be getting out the workshop schedule. So like I said, we're running a little late on that, but we've got a couple of sustaining creativity workshops that Lori and I will be hosting. I have a printing workshop. I have some one-day workshops. I have a shooting and printing workshop up here in the Pacific Northwest. So look for that coming out shortly. I'll make sure I announce the date and the URL for that in an upcoming podcast. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.